Our scripture reading this morning is John chapter 1, verse 29 through 37. Jesus, the Lamb of God. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony: "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. So far, we read God's word.
I want you to use your imagination for a minute and just imagine that I'm a first century Israelite. I remember the first time that I saw John, he looked like some sort of prophet straight out of the book of Isaiah. You know, clothed in camel hair and wearing a leather belt around his waist. I never saw him eat anything but locusts and honey. He looked like he belonged to a bygone era. And so I assumed that what he said did too. But then I started to listen to John, and not just listen with my ears, but with my heart. And I quickly realized that what John was saying was just as relevant to me as it was to the people long ago. You know, "Repent," he said, "for the kingdom of God is at hand. Turn from sin," he said, "for the Savior is coming." I mean, sure, that sounded archaic and old-fashioned, but I mean, boil it down. And that message resonated with my heart. Because I have to admit, I don't always do right. If I'm honest with myself, I sometimes tell God with my words and deeds that I think I'm more important than he is. And, well, that's sin. And my heart is still sensitive enough to know that that's wrong. I try to do right. I try to be a good person, but I have this sinking feeling that my good deeds could never outweigh my bad. I need a savior. I need someone bigger than me to deal with this sin. And here comes John out in the wilderness saying, "The Savior is coming to forgive all who would turn from sin and turn to him." And so that's what I did. I turned from sin and turned to the Savior, and I let John baptize me to show it was so. And then I hung around to see what he would say. I became his disciples. Me and a handful of others would go and listen to John day after day. And boy, was it ever fascinating to listen to him teach. This guy knew his Bible. He understood the sacrifices. He understood the covenants. He understood the grace of God and the promises that God had made to save his people. And some people started to think that maybe he was the one that God was going to do that saving through. You know, people came out and asked, "John, are you the Messiah? Are you the prophet? Are you Elijah who comes before the Savior?" They started to think that John maybe was the promised one, but no, John steadfastly denied it. He'd say, "No, I'm not even worthy to take his sandals off of him. It's not me." God has promised a Savior, and he is coming. And on it went, day after day. People came to John into the wilderness, ready to hear his message, to turn from sin and trust in the Savior. But we all longed to know, who is it? Who is this Savior? And how exactly would he save his people? Well, wouldn't you know it, the answer came one day when I wasn't there. I couldn't get off of work that day, but my fellow disciples filled me in later. John's cousin came out to be baptized, and he went down into the water, nothing special. But then when he came up, suddenly the heavens opened and the Spirit descended like a dove on him. And this voice from the heavens said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." This was the Savior that we'd been waiting for. And John drove the point home the very next day. You know, we gathered around again to listen to him teach. When Jesus approached and John stood up and he pointed at Jesus and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In an instant, I understood that this was the Savior. And not just that, but how this Savior would save his people. See, John was making reference to a couple of animals, a couple of images that made a lot of sense to me as a first century Israelite. The Passover lamb and the atonement goat. I mean, we knew that like the back of our hands, but maybe you wouldn't. So let me describe this to you. First, John was saying that Jesus was the Passover lamb. You know, years ago, our ancestors were slaves in Egypt, and Pharaoh refused to let them go. God sent plague after plague to try to change Pharaoh's mind, and finally the big one was to come. The firstborn son in every household was going to die. But before that, God said to us, "Listen, take a lamb, a perfect lamb, and kill it and eat it. But take some of its blood and smear it on the doorposts of your house so that when I come along and wreak havoc upon Egypt, I will see the blood and I will know who belongs to me, and I will spare all those who hide beneath it from the destruction that I am about to work." Those lambs died so that our sons could live. And because the lambs died, our people went free. If Jesus was the Lamb of God, then he is the Passover lamb. The lamb who would die in his people's place to set them free. Right? The wages of sin is death. And if we do sin, then we get death. But Jesus is the Passover lamb who dies instead so that we can live. John was saying, "Behold, the ultimate Passover lamb," but he was also saying, "Look, the ultimate atonement goat." See, every year we had this thing called Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. This day when the priests would cleanse the community and remind us of the way that God had forgiven our sin. On that day, once a year, Yom Kippur, the high priest would take a goat. And he would lay his hands on the goat's head, and he would confess all of our sin onto this goat. Now, I'm a simple guy, so I don't really understand how it worked, but the priest said that all of our sin, all of the community's sin, went out and onto the goat. And then they took the goat and they kicked it out into the wilderness, and off it went, carrying away our sin. If Jesus takes away the sin of the world, then he is the ultimate atonement goat who takes our sin upon his body and carries it far, far away. I mean, what did the psalmist say? As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Our Savior Jesus came to be the ultimate Passover lamb, the ultimate atonement goat. He came to take our sin upon his body, carry it away from us, die in our place, so that we could live. Indeed, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It was all so much to process. This was him. This was the Savior. This was the Lamb. This is the one that John had been preparing us for. The one that John had been telling us, get ready for him so that you can go with him. But I couldn't just leave John, could I? I went to John one day apart from the crowd and I said, John, you've taught me so much and I can never thank you enough for pointing me to and getting me ready for this Savior. And my voice trailed off. John, I think, knew what I meant. And he looked me in the eye and he smiled and he said, then I've done my part. He must become greater and I must become less. And John 1, verse 35 says this. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said again, look, there goes the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. You know, I struggled this week to know how to present this because it is so profound and powerful, and yet it is so simple. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That means that Jesus came and took upon himself my sin and your sin and the sin of the world, every sin that I have ever done, every sin that I will ever do, every evil thought, every evil deed, he took it all upon his body, carried it to the cross, and there he died in my place so that I would have life. Indeed, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and it's by his wounds that we are healed. That's a powerful truth. What do we do with it? Well, first off, let me say this. If you've ever sinned, and I know that you have, because all of us have put our will before God's will at one point or another in our lives, and that's sin. So, if you have ever sinned, then behold, Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. When you confess your sin and admit that to Jesus, he becomes your Passover lamb who died to pay the price of sin in your place. He becomes your atonement goat, as it were, carrying your sin far, far away from you. It is gone. You are forgiven. Full stop. Own that sacrifice. Hide yourself beneath the blood because you belong to him. And realize that Jesus has carried your sin far, far away. He carried it to the cross on his own body. It died there with him, and it is gone. You know, a couple of years ago, a couple summers ago, somebody had a cue from the pew that said, I think God has forgiven me, but I can't forgive myself. How do I do that? Well, I think that this is relevant here. Jesus took your sin upon his body and carried it away, and it is objectively gone from you. Let it go. And same with habitual sins that continue to trip us up, even when we are forgiven. Listen, Jesus took that too. Jesus took the desire for sin out of our believing heart. Let it go. Jesus gave his life to give you life. Give your life to following him. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for being so selfless as to lay down your life for a sinner like me. Thank you for being willing to be the Passover lamb, to be the atonement goat, to be the one who delivers us by laying down his life from sin. Jesus, I pray that as we prepare to come to your table where we remember your death on our behalf, I pray that you would prepare our hearts. Lord, if there is anyone here who is still holding on to sin for the very first time, you know, they've never said, Jesus, carry this for me. Be my sacrifice that died in my place. I pray, Spirit, that you would prompt them to confess it and to receive you as their Passover lamb. And Lord, for all of us who have sheltered beneath your blood for years, I pray that you would work in our hearts to identify sin, Lord. Get it out of us. Prepare our hearts as we come to your table. May we grow deeper in gratitude for what you have done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to the table today, I want to take a few minutes to think on this idea of an atonement goat. It's nobody ever called it that in the Old Testament. This is a language that I'm using, the atonement goat. That's what it did. But I think there's something very powerful about seeing your sin transferred onto something and seeing it carried away. I mean, ultimately, that is what Jesus did for us. Our sins went onto him. He carried it to the cross. He died there along with our sin. Now, obviously, he is not literally, physically here with us. So I wanted to be able to give you some picture of your sin being carried away. And so I think that as you came in this morning, I gave you a little black sheet of paper. I want you to imagine that that is sin. I want you to imagine that your sin is being transferred onto that paper as if it were Jesus' body. And I'm going to ask Tammy and Glenn to come around and collect that sin from you so that you can have a visual sense of Jesus carrying off your sin. It no longer belongs to you. We'll prepare our hearts in that way and then come to the table. Is there any left if anybody didn't have one? Not sure. You got it? Okay, we're good. Okay. Sarah wants more sin. Let's pray together and then we'll come around to collect it. Lord, we admit that we sin, that we fall short of your glorious ideal. But in your boundless mercy, you have given us a perfect lamb, a perfect sacrifice to take away our sin. Lord, we now think of it on this paper and we surrender it to you. And we ask that you would make it real in our hearts that you have carried it away from us. It is no longer ours. You took care of it on the cross. Lord, take it and cleanse us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Think of Jesus taking his sin upon yourself and carrying it away. When Jesus
met with his disciples at the table, I will bet that he was starting to feel the weight of sin on his shoulders. He was carrying all the sin that anyone anywhere would ever accomplish. And he knew that bearing it in his own body would kill him. And yet he chose to take it to the cross. He took your sin on his body to the cross. He carried it away from you. And it makes his words, I think, all the more significant. This is my body, which is broken for you. He died, not you. He has given you life through his blood. We will distribute the bread and then receive it together. If indeed you have received Jesus as your Passover lamb, then please join us and take part. Otherwise, we would ask you to refrain because these are precious symbols of Jesus' death for his people. Let's pray together over the bread. Jesus, thank you for bearing my sin, for taking my place. Lord, thank you for allowing your body to be broken instead of mine. Lord, by your wounds, we are healed, and we are endlessly grateful for it. Lord, deepen our gratitude as we prepare to receive and remember your body broken on our behalf. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and after he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us remember our Savior's sacrifice." When the Passover lamb died, its blood protected all of those who hid themselves beneath it. And Jesus is our Passover lamb. His blood cleanses us and forgives us and protects us, all by grace through faith. This is Jesus' blood poured out for us to seal God's commitment to us. Let our hearts rejoice and let us pray. Jesus, thank you for giving your blood to seal the eternal covenant with God, that we would be delivered from sin by grace through faith because of your love and mercy and compassion for us. Jesus, we pray that your blood would take life in us and help us to live the redeemed life that you have prepared us for. In Jesus' name we pray. In the same way, after the meal, Jesus took the cup, and after he had given thanks, he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us remember our Savior. As often as we eat the bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again.